as the king, even though he came as a strange sort of king because he came as a king sitting on a donkey. So he came coming with this triumphal entry and yet coming with a humility that no other king had ever come. And so he's in Jerusalem, and it is directly after he has come into the city, and sort of everyone's heard, and there's this clamour and this crowd, and then this happens. So think a public place, his disciples around him, lots of other people around him too who are interested in what's going on, and then this happens. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And if it dies, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour." This is an interesting but in some ways a strange saying of Jesus. And I'd like you to notice, first of all, the context in which Jesus speaks here. We were saying just before that this is probably just after the clamour of having come into Jerusalem, and everyone has heard of this Jesus who is coming in. And he is a Jew, and he's coming into Jerusalem. So there are many others in Jerusalem, but there are those who follow the religion of the Jews but aren't really Jews. And they've come from a long distance away. And here we see some who are Greeks. So they're probably feeling a little bit distanced from Jesus because they've said, "Look, this is the new king. This is Jesus the king." And they're wondering, well, is this our king as well? And so they come up to one of Jesus' disciples, a Jew, and say, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to meet him." Now, before we get into anything else, it's just really encouraging to me to see that right at the very beginning, where all of this is happening and Jesus is about to be in Jerusalem for a week and then die on the cross and then be resurrected, there's people from far away, from different languages, wanting to see and wanting to hear about and wanting to speak to Jesus. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for all nations. He's not just for Jews. He's for Greeks as well and for English-speaking people. Everyone from afar. And these people who had come from afar wanted to know about this king, this strange king who was coming into Jerusalem. And here we have Jesus' response. And like I said before, his response is in a public place. So he's got his disciples around him, and he's probably got a lot of people from the procession around him as well. And they come and they say, "We want to see Jesus." And then Philip tells Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And it seems like they were admitted into his presence as part of this group, and Jesus speaks to the whole group. And Jesus is basically saying to the whole group and to these Greeks who have come, sort of, "What is this about the king?" And he says to all of them and to the Greeks who are asking the questions, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That's what I'm here for. That's why there's this big occasion." Jesus was about to be glorified. Now, glorified means to be lifted up, to be raised up high, to be shown to be glorious. The idea of glory is brightness. Jesus is going to be lifted up brightly on high. He's about to be glorified. And that's kind of a bit of a strange thing to say if you already know what's going to happen the next Friday. Because the next Friday, Jesus is going to be crucified. Jesus is going to be killed. People are going to whip him and spit on him and all these terrible things. And Jesus is saying, now is the time where the Son of Man is going to be lifted up in glory. You see, Jesus' greatest glory, Jesus' crowning achievement, is his dying on the cross. It's the most important thing. Now, that sounds kind of odd and possibly even theologically questionable, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the soldier who, in battle, goes against an enemy machine gun in order to save his mates, and he manages to go into enemy lines and save his comrades and then get out of there safe. And then, when he gets back, having done this incredible, heroic, magnificent deed in war, in battle, he gets back, and back at home, he gets given the Victoria Cross, the greatest honour that you can get given as a soldier, to say, you truly represented your country well. You truly glorified your country by your actions. Now, where is that man's glory? Where's the glorious action? Yes, there is the greatness of receiving that great honour, the cross, but the glorious, the great thing that he did wasn't receiving that cross. It was actually what he did when he was on the battlefield. And Jesus is about to be glorified. Jesus is about to die on the cross. Now, the crowd don't know all everything that you know. They don't know that Jesus is going to be crucified in a week or within the week. And they would have heard Jesus say, the Son of Man is about to be glorified, lifted up, praised, on high. And they so much wanted to hear that. You remember who's listening? It's mostly Jews. And they wanted a king so bad. And they thought that if Jesus was their king, then they wouldn't have to serve the Romans anymore. And so if Jesus was glorified, Jesus was lifted up, they too would be lifted up with Jesus. They would be glorified with Jesus. I wonder if they knew how Jesus was going to be glorified, whether or not they would have wanted to be glorified along with Jesus. Because you and I both know that Jesus' glory, Jesus' crowning achievement, was a horrible, terrible, tragic, painful death on the cross. That's Jesus' glory, the cross. Now, I want to ask you, are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable being with, serving with, glorifying a king whose crowning achievement is being tortured and crucified on a cross? That's Jesus' glory. That's Jesus' glory. Are you comfortable with that? Do you accept Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you glorify Jesus because of that horrible thing that he had to go through? Because that is Jesus' glory. I have a feeling, in fact, we can basically figure it out from the way that the Jews reacted afterwards, but that's not the kind of glory that they were looking for in a king. But Jesus uses a picture to try and get them to see what is going to happen. And it seems a little strange coming directly after what Jesus says. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, what? We're talking about wheat. Why aren't we talking about kings and battles and robes and crowns and all of these kingdom type things? No, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. There's no warfare picture here. There's nothing glamorous about what Jesus is saying. You want to know how Jesus is going to be glorified, he says? It's like a seed, a small seed. In fact, he says a grain of wheat. Now, some of you have your puffed wheat at home. We have puffed wheat. And puffed wheat might be that big. And that's actually when it's cooked and blown up. Okay, a grain of wheat starts this small. It's tiny. Okay? And what's the glory of that tiny grain of wheat? When it dies. That's not very glorious. That's not very glorious. A seed is apparently so small, is apparently so insignificant, this tiny, individual, insignificant seed. And what's the use of it by itself? Nothing. Except that you put it in the ground and then it dies. It gives up everything that's inside it. And out of the death of that seed, when it gives up everything that's inside of it, grows up a stalk. And a stalk of grain. And if you've ever seen a stalk of grain, just a single stalk might be maybe as high as this pulpit. How many seeds does it have on it? It's got hundreds and thousands of seeds on just one stalk of grain. And if you planted that again, the next season, just those hundreds of thousands of seeds, then you'd have a whole crop just from one insignificant seed. So where's the glory? The glory here is in the death of this seed. And this is a picture that Jesus uses to show what his glory is like. When a seed dies, it loses itself. You think about that. Let's say you plant a seed of any kind in the ground, okay, and then it grows into something great. If you want to go looking for that seed later, you won't find it. The seed loses itself. The seed loses all of itself. The seed gives up everything that it is by dying in order to become something greater. It gives up everything inside it for the nourishment of something which is far more glorious. And Jesus says, yes, I'm the king. I'm going to be glorified, but I'm going to be glorified the way that a seed is glorified. I'm going to be glorified by giving up everything, like the seed. And the seed is glorified by what it produces after it dies. The seed becomes so much more than what it was. The seed literally dies and gives up all of itself for a new life. What a strange picture to use when he's speaking to all of these Jews who just want a king. And they want to be glorified with the king. I guess the question is, if that's the king, do you still want to be glorified with that king? Do you want to be glorified with Jesus? Jesus must have been so confusing at this point. They want glory, the king, and he's talking about death, the seed. If you're going to be part of Jesus' kingdom, you're actually going to have to follow the king, and the way that the king was glorified, you also will have to follow that path, that death of everything that is inside of you in order for so much more and something so much better. Look at the way that Jesus applies this in verses 25 and 26. He's talked about himself dying as this seed and growing up and being so much more. And then he talks about everyone else in the same way. He says, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. If Jesus had to give up all of himself in order to be glorified You also, if you want to be glorified with Jesus, if you want that glory with Jesus in heaven, what you're going to have to do is to give up everything. Not everything outside of you, everything inside of you and outside of you. You're going to have to die like the seed in order to grow so much more. You see, Jesus gave up his glory in order to come and to die. Jesus gave up his throne in heaven to come and die. He gave up his closeness to the Father. He gave up his purity because he took sin upon himself. Jesus gave up his freedom, all of those things, to die and then to bring in his kingdom. He did that so that you could be free from your sin. He died and gave up himself so that you could join him in his heavenly kingdom. He did that so that you could actually be part of his family. Jesus gave up all of himself. He died like that seed. So are you actually willing to follow this particular king? One which isn't talking about crowns and glory and battles won and feats of domination and victory. But instead, what he says is, are you willing to give up yourself? Verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. Verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. You want to follow Jesus? You're going to have to follow him into death. Are you willing to give up your life like the seed that gives up its life? Now that's possibly, we need to get away from movies at this point, because when you think of movies and examples in sort of popular culture, what you think of when you say, are you willing to give up your life? You think of someone standing in front of the gun, okay, and saying, renounce Jesus or die. And you say, no, I don't renounce Jesus, and so they kill you. All right, that's true. That's giving up your life for Jesus. But that's actually not the basic part of what this is talking about. It's not standing in front of a gun, though it could be. It's not just giving up your life so that you die and go to heaven. This is giving up your life as it is. Okay? This is, are you willing to give up your life? Are you willing to give up your dreams? Are you willing to let your dreams die so that his dreams will grow in you? Are you willing to give up your dreams for Jesus' dreams? That's a hard question. That's probably a lot harder than standing in front of a gun and being told that in 2 seconds it'll all be over, depending on which way you choose. Are you willing to give up your passions, the things that you love, the things that you live for, the things that you really want? Are you willing to let those die in order to grow up into the passions that Jesus would have you to have? All those things that you hold on tightly to, that you pour time and money and energy and thought and emotion into, are you willing to let those die in order to grow up into Jesus' passions? And your values, those things that you think are so good, what if they're not the things that Jesus thinks are so good? What if you have to let those things which you think are good or valuable or important, and you have to let those die so that Jesus' values will grow up in you? So that yourself, you give up everything that is in you, you let all of that die, and Jesus' dreams and passions and values grow up into a great harvest in your life. You see, if you die like a seed, there's nothing left of you, just the Jesus that comes out of you. There is nothing left that you have not given to God. Everything gets given to God for his use. I guess the question comes down to verse 26. He says, well, I'll just deal with verse 25 first of all. Verse 25 says, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." In church in Everton Park today, we heard that you don't have to not enjoy life. You do get to enjoy life. God gives you life to enjoy. But what you have to do is to die to yourself, is what Jesus is saying here. If you love everything that you have more than Jesus, then you'll get to keep those things for a limited amount of time in this world for a certain period of time, and then that'll be it. However, if you give up the things that you love for the sake of Jesus, you give up who you are in order to become who Jesus wants you to be, then you not only have a full life here and now, you also have eternal life with Jesus forever. And then he says, verse 26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also." In your life, who are you serving? Are you actually serving yourself? Are you serving your own loves, your own passions, your own values, your own people? Everything that you do is actually just about making yourself happy. Or are you serving Jesus? Are you serving God? If you are serving Jesus, it will involve the seed dying and having nothing left and growing into something else. The thing that Jesus wants you to be. Jesus says, serve me. Die to yourself and live to God. That's what he's looking for. Why? Why would you do that? I mean, this is an incredibly difficult thing to do. It's an incredibly costly thing to do. Sometimes it doesn't look like you're getting a payoff. What do you get out of actually dying to yourself and living to God? Well, Jesus tells you that there is a payoff. You get something out of it. And it's not something that you might expect. You might expect him to say, yes, you'll be happy. Okay, well, yes, I would bank that you would actually be happy, but that's not what he says. He might say, I'll give you what you need, and he has actually said that in other parts of Scripture. But what's the payoff that Jesus says, the payoff that you get for giving up everything, for dying to yourself? It's here in verse 26. He says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour." And if you're a Christian, or even if you've just started to think about what Christianity really is, and you're starting to know just who this Father is and who this God is, then this is a payoff like you would never imagine. This is an incredible payoff that beats being rich, that beats being happy, that beats getting everything that you ever want. Because what Jesus says here is, you might not receive any honour from the world, and you might feel that you've given up so much and you haven't received all that much back from God yet. You may feel as though you've lost everything in this particular transaction. You have died to yourself like the seed that dies in the ground, but God will honour you. Now that's one of the most topsy-turvy statements in all of Scripture. God honours you. You think about that. Where's God? God is transcendent. He is above everything. God is glorified. God our Father. We honour him. And he says, Jesus, the Son of God, says, you die to yourself, God will honour you. Wow. There is no greater glory than for God to honour you. We often think about the Christian message in terms of love. And yes, we're told that God does love his people. We're even told God gives to his people. We're even told God serves his people. This says God honours those who die to self and live to him. This is a payoff that no one else in the world can give to you. You could earn the respect of your friends for a period of time. You could earn the respect of the church, the people around you. Perhaps you could earn the respect of the important people in your community. You could earn the respect of people who are very clever, people who are very influential and powerful. It's nothing compared to this. God will honour you when you die to self and live to him. So this is the king who's coming into Jerusalem. It says, the hour is hand that I will be the hour is at hand where I will be glorified. But he says, death now, glory later. Death, like a seed, then glory. Jesus says, die to yourself and live to God. Jesus says, you serve Christ, you die to yourself, and God himself will honour you. So if you are a Christian, I would encourage you to live this way, to give up your dreams and your passions and your values and hand them over to God to serve him so that all of you dies for the sake of his kingdom. If you are not a Christian, I would beg you to understand the message that is here, to die to everything that is in you and to live only to God. Because the transaction is completely unfair. God gives you so much more than you would ever deserve. God honours you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'll just strike our hearts with the greatness of this word, that you honour those who have so little to give. In fact, nothing to give. We are to die to everything that is in us to serve you. Lord, help us to serve you with all that is in us so that everything that we have is given up for your sake. I pray for anyone here who is struggling with where they are with you, that you will help them to see the great wonder and honour and respect and love that you have shown. Lord, to desire that above all the honour and respect of the world. I pray for those who have already yielded up their lives to you but struggle with just seeking after all the things in the world, not knowing the path or feeling drawn and torn in so many different ways. Help us to just give up what we have for your sake so that our lives are a sacrifice for you, so that everything that we do is dying to ourselves and living to you, so that our lives are reflecting your glory. We pray that you will show a great harvest in each of our lives for the sake of your kingdom, that you'll be honoured. And thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.